Christian Barr, nice to have you with us. Bait City, that's where you was at this morning. Hope things went well there. Welcome you all back this evening to the services. I was sharing with Brother Emmer that kind of special being the first one to preside over a service after the church has been dedicated, and for him to be the first speaker, and no pressure there. But it's good to come together in this, his holy home, and to hopefully feel and come into his presence and to maybe fulfill some of the words that Alma has for us, is what I've got for call to worship. Alma's kind of a wordy fella. I'm not much on a lot of words, but Alma takes his time sometimes in explaining things. And so I'm going to abbreviate, I guess, but I would like for you to look at Alma 16, and the part I have highlighted in my scriptures is from verse 215 through 222, but I'm not going to read all of that. I'm going to read from verses 219 on, and pray that you will look this up on your own and study all of Alma, but a lot of Alma has a lot of very mind-searching questions to ask, and a lot of very important instructions. And I've chosen this and taken it out of context, so to speak, because it ties in with the dedication that we need to have in our lives as we try to fulfill the purpose that we built this building for. Alma 16:219. Humble yourselves and continue to pray in prayer to him. Cry to him when you are in your fields or over all your flocks. Cry to him in your houses and over all your household, morning, midday, and evening. Cry to him against the power of your enemies. Cry to him against the devil, who is an enemy to all righteousness. Cry to him over the crops of your fields, that you may prosper in them. Cry over the flocks of your fields, that they may increase. But this is not all. You must pour out your souls in your closets and your secret places and in your wilderness. You ever think of yourself living in a wilderness? In many ways we do, as you look at what is happening in the world around us. And when you do not cry to the Lord, let your hearts be full, drawn out in prayer to him continuously for your welfare and also for the welfare of those who are around you. As we contemplate those words and look forward to the messages this evening, let's stand and sing together our opening hymn of number 31, Joyful, Joyful, We Adore Thee. Number 31. Shall we stand? Father, once again, we bow before you and find ourselves within thy holy sanctuary, Father. And the songs that we have already sang this evening, Father, portray the desires and the purposes and the intent of all those who would call upon your Son, Jesus Christ. And that's what we do at this time, Lord. We call upon you to give you praise and thanks for all the things that you've done in our lives, for all those events that brought us to where we stand at this very moment with our heads bowed before you, seeking, Father, additional enlightenment, additional strength, additional purpose, and additional dedication within our hearts and our lives to live our lives according to your commands and your teachings. Above all, which is to love you with everything within our being and to love our fellow man as ourselves. Your Son, Jesus Christ, is the only one in the realms of glory, perhaps, that understands the completeness of that command and how difficult it is for we who are fallen creatures, we who are trapped in this temporal world as probationary time, to prove ourselves worthy or unworthy, one way or the other, to come back into your presence. So, Father, we rejoice at the love and the mercy and the opportunities you extend to us to draw closer to you by drawing closer to each other. And I'm reminded of the words of Mosiah, Lord, that when we are in service to each other or to our fellow man, we are actually in service to you. And so, Father, may we contemplate those words and those needs and those desires within our lives as we go forward, Lord, from this day, this special day, and pray that in all things, Lord, we would seek and sense and respond to your guidance as you walk beside us. And these things we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Scripture I want to read this evening is taken from John, first chapter. I'm sure it's very familiar to all of you. I'll start at verse 4. And this is speaking, of course, of the Son, or Jesus Christ. In him was the gospel, and the gospel was the life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in the world, and the world perceiveth it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came into the world for a witness, to bear witness of the light, to bear record of the gospel through the Son unto all, that through him men might believe. He was not that light, but came to bear witness of that light, which was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world.
Remain seated and sing together hymn number 213, We Limit Not the Truth of God. 213.
Just like to call to your attention some of the words from the hymn we just sang. I did not talk to Brother Leroy about my topic for tonight, but oddly enough, it's about light, the light of Christ. And so the hymn talks about from darkness our forefathers came, the first steps of the way. 'Twas but the dawning, yet to grow into the perfect day. Grow it shall our glorious sun, more fervid rays afford. The Lord hath yet more light and truth to break forth from his word. The Lord's done it again. He does things like this. Brings together these ideas and thoughts and words of truth that we would not necessarily expect. This scripture that I read from is, again, as you might expect from my topic, about the light, about the sun, Jesus Christ. In him was the gospel and the life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in the world, and the world perceiveth it not. Then it talks about John, who we call John the Baptist. It said he was not that light, but came to bear witness of that light, which was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. I believe that the role of John the Baptist is one that we need to embrace ourselves as followers and disciples of Jesus Christ. We are to be like Jesus, we know, but there's only one Christ. And we are to act as John did, I believe, to identify that Christ, to announce his coming, to make ready the way of the Lord. And we are told in the scriptures that in the latter days, the last days, there will be many Christs, many claiming to be the Christ. And so we need to be aware of what the Christ is like. We need to know him, not just know about him, but to know him and be able to identify him when he appears, and help others to be able to do the same, to identify and to identify, to know that Christ when he arrives. And in my humble opinion, that day is coming soon. I strongly suspect that there are those among us here today that will be here when the Lord does make his next appearance. And it will be one of our responsibilities to identify him, to know him, to announce his arrival. As I said, I intend to talk something about the light tonight. And I decided to do this a few weeks ago when Brother Bob Schrunk used that topic and gave a very fine sermon on the light of Christ, which he had been inspired to give, I believe, because of the recent reunion. CMR Brea reunion, which had the topic as the light. And I'm certainly not trying to do any better than Brother Bob did. I don't think I'm able to do that. I would like to add to what he has brought to us. I did do some research and took some notes and had a sermon ready, I thought, but I'm inclined to depart from that a bit this evening. Several years ago, in the adjacent building here, we had a class going. Had a text, And as we're doing now, the priesthood were trading off on teaching that class. And I remember we had a particular chapter scheduled to use one Sunday. And these days, not only were the brethren trading off on classes, they were, as they do today, busily serving other branches, going out and giving traveling ministry to some of the other branches. So it happened on this particular occasion, there were three different men teaching the class on three consecutive Sundays. And it happened that all three of these men were out giving ministry in other places on those three Sundays. So on the first Sunday that I'm referring to, the brother taught the class from the text, and we had a good class and discussion. And so the next Sunday, one of the other brothers came in and began to teach the class. And I soon realized that he is teaching from the same chapter. And I thought, oops, that's not good. He's using the same chapter. He's going over the same material. But I soon realized that that was not really a problem. We were having a good discussion. He was doing a good job of teaching the class, bringing up perhaps some different points that than the first brother had. So I learned something there. I thought, well, this won't happen again, of course. On the third Sunday, soon after the class started, I realized that we were going through the same chapter again. And I soon learned that that was not a bad thing. It was a good class. So I learned a lesson from that. These various topics, these various scriptures, contain a lot of material, don't they, brethren? You don't run out of material when you're researching for a sermon or a class. So the light of Christ is a big topic. It's one that no doubt we could spend several classes and several sermons on, and not being very repetitious. I'll depart from my notes a bit now. This has been a good day for me. I hope it continues from this point on. We had a good class and a very good dedication service this morning. But even earlier than that, we had Sister Donata presenting the early worship service. And as a part of that, she read from this, what I would call an inspired writing, that she thoughtfully copied off and handed out to us after the class. Now, I especially appreciated that because with my poor hearing, I didn't understand all that she was saying. And I thought, you know, this is really excellent. And it's something that I would like to present to our Healing Hearts group, which met this afternoon. And so I took that along with me for the class, or for the meeting, and spoke to Mary, our leader, when I got to down to Colburn Road, and asked if she had anybody scheduled to give the devotions today. And she said, me. Well, I know that Mary just kind of automatically fills in if she doesn't have anybody scheduled. And so I asked her, I said, well, were you planning on that or kind of filling the gap here? And she said, well, so I didn't really plan on it. But I said, well, I have something I like to present. Oh, good. So she was happy to allow me to do that. So I used this writing that Sister Donita provided this morning. And it talks about discouragement. And what better topic to talk to a group of widows and widowers than this kind of information? So I was really blessed by being able to provide this, and very, very thoughtfully ran and copied off a bunch of this copy, and I think the folks were blessed by this. So that's one of the blessings that I had today. Before I started meeting with these folks, I was reluctant to do so. It didn't really appeal to me. It's been my observation that the things that are recommended for people who've lost a spouse didn't seem to appeal to me and didn't seem to do me much good. But then I got to thinking, you know, that's kind of a selfish attitude. Maybe I could help in some way. So perhaps I have, in some small ways, been able to assist others in this situation. In Genesis 1, 6th verse, it says, "And I, God, said, let there be light. And there was light." You see, there'd been darkness. And God had the power, as the most powerful being, to speak and create things. And he created light. Now, if one of us were assigned the task of creating light, how would we go about that? I don't think any of us would have the slightest idea, would we? But God is God. He is the creator. He spoke, and there was light, without which there could not be life on this earth. And if we want to break it down a little more, we might say that there's something even more basic than light. It'd be voice, perhaps, or sound. You know, there are a lot of times when it seems that there's a conflict and disagreement between religion or belief in God and science. And so it seems. And yet, sometimes when we look into this and make some comparisons, maybe there's not all that much difference. Probably we were all taught when we were younger, at least as old as I am, we were taught that atoms were the smallest particle of anything in the world. Any mass or whatever, anything. And then they said, well, the atoms can be broken down into, what is it, electrons and whatever else. You can probably tell me. This happened rather later on in my life. But several years ago, I read an article. Now, I am very unscientific. I have difficulty with any kind of science. But I read an article that said they had broken the atoms and these electrons and neutrons and what have you down further. They found that the basic makeup of anything was light. Isn't that interesting? When God said, let there be light, that was the beginning of all these things, isn't it? All of all creation, essentially. So, and of course, another thing that occurs is that there's this carbon dating thing that says that everything on Earth is millions and billions of years old and what have you. I remember Frank Fry giving a class several years ago that I was in, and Frank's rather scientific type. He taught science, I understand, for some years. And he told about being in a class taught by a man who had been involved in this study that resulted in the carbon dating process. And he said various agencies of various nations all around the world had kept records on all kinds of things like temperatures and sunlight and et cetera, everything that they could observe. And they did this for some years, and they sent it into this central repository, shall we say, of scientists who were working on this project, those in charge of it. They didn't like the results. They said it wasn't nearly, the times were not nearly as long as they had supposed. So they just arbitrarily chose some times and substituted for the real results that they'd had in the reports. So scientists are not necessarily always right. And perhaps we religionists are not always entirely right. It's a matter of understanding. And no doubt we should all try to understand better just what is the truth. Oh, I see in my notes here now that atoms consist of protons, neutrons, and electrons. I wouldn't know one of those if I saw one, but anyway, that's what they say. That's what the scientists say. Light is a wonderful thing. A wonderful thing. I want to resort to some testimonies now. My wife, Burl, who had an unusual gift. She had a lot of gifts, as you know, but this one was really pretty peculiar. Many years ago, probably 30-odd years ago, she and I were coming home from church one day. We were attending at a different branch, and she said, "I saw something unusual today." And we had remarked on there being an exceptional presence of the Holy Spirit that morning. Just been an excellent service, had really a good sermon. And she said, "You know, when I was looking at the speaker, who was doing such a good job in preaching, said there was a light around him." Said from what she could see, that wasn't behind the pulpit, said there was just rather bright light all around him. Now, Burl was not one to have hallucinations or an overactive imagination. She's quite realistic, I think. So if she said she saw a light, I had no doubt she did. She did see a light there. And after that, not often perhaps, but every now and then, we'd be coming home from church and she'd say, "I saw it again. I saw it again." You know, in the olden days, the artists would depict Mary and some of the baby Jesus and some of the saints and what have with a little round halo around their head of light. Evidently, there was some history of that happening, and this was the artist's idea or their concept of what that might look like. Now, I didn't see the lights. Wasn't my gift. And this wasn't every time we went to church. It may not happen for weeks or months. But now and then, when we're going home from church, she'd say, "I saw it again. That light." It's a wonderful thing, the light of Christ. In most occasions, we can't see it, but many times we can feel it, can't we? We can observe it. We can observe the effects of that light of Christ. Another testimony, a number of years ago, another elder and I had traveled to a little town quite a long ways from here, long day's drive. And we had gone to the house of the pastor and the wife of this little tiny group that we are to offer ministry to the next day. And so we were visiting with them in their home and giving some testimonies and that sort of thing. And the lady of the house, the wife, said, "You know, our grandson should hear this." And she immediately jumped in the car and drove just a short distance, evidently, to where this grandson was staying and brought him back. And rather unusual young man. He's wearing a ball cap, which he didn't take off. It was pulled down over his nose. You couldn't see his eyes. Never did see his eyes. There was a darkness about him. And he was polite. He was quiet. He didn't say much. And we continued offering testimonies and visiting about various things about the gospel. And at one point, well, you probably all know Dale Wolski, my late brother-in-law. Dale's not bashful about speaking up about anything, and he suggested this young man come to Independence, and it'd be good for him. And all he said was, "I may do that when I get straightened out." That's about all he said the whole evening. His grandparents told us later that he was badly addicted to all kinds of drugs. And he had almost died as a result of those addictions. Next time I saw him was probably about a year and a half later. I was at a church reunion. And there this young man was. For the first time, I could see his eyes. I could see his face. That there wasn't a physical light, but there was a light from within shining in that face. He was entirely different. He had sobered up. He was serving as a deacon and enjoying it, rejoicing and serving the Lord and the saints as a deacon. It wasn't a light the way Earl had seen it. It wasn't a halo, but his face was literally shining. The darkness was all gone. Following the Lord can be a tremendous experience, a tremendous blessing. Which reminds me of something I read recently in the Restoration Voice. The writer, I thought it was an excellent article, but the writer said something rather peculiar. He said, "Jesus doesn't want followers." Isn't that interesting? You know, even Jesus himself said some rather startling things once in a while, things that you wouldn't expect from him to kind of get people's attention, to make a point. And that's what this brother was doing. He said he doesn't want followers. He wants disciples. He wants disciples. Anybody can follow. But a disciple has to apply what the teacher is teaching. And it was a good article. I thought it was an excellent article. We need to be more than followers. We need to be disciples. We need to be doing as the Christ does, following his example, following his teachings. where to go from this point. Maybe I need to get back to my sermon. In John 1:49, you know, we often use the example of Peter speaking to Jesus when he asked, who do men say that I am? Saying that thou art the Christ, Son of the living God. Well, there's a man named Nathanael that said that a lot earlier. It was the time when Jesus was calling his apostles. And he said, thou art the Son of God. Jesus had identified him as a true Israelite. He knew from looking at him who he was and what he was. And Nathanael looked at him and said, thou art the Son of God. He'd been a skeptic before that. But having seen him, he called him what he was. You know, John 1:5 says that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. Now, I've been around Indians quite a bit, American Indians, and associate with them quite a bit. And some of them think that there's a bad God and there's a good God. Now, to us, this makes no sense at all. But that's the way they see it. And, of course, they advocate listening to the good God, not the bad God. I remember when we were on the Navajo Reservation, where I was teaching class, and where the older Navajo girl said, you know, that a lot of we natives believe that the sun is God. God is the sun. And Burl took pains to teach them that, no, God is the one who made the sun. And perhaps, you know, in their beliefs, I think the Indians have some beliefs that are derived from what was taught by the Christ and even before the Christ. We know that the Book of Mormon says there must needs be an opposition in all things. Perhaps that's where they got it. Who knows? Since they don't have a written gospel, they miss some of these things that we are familiar with. And what a blessing. What a blessing it is to have the scriptures that we don't have to guess about these things and try to reason it out. And, you know, in this matter of the science versus creationism, the scriptures say, this comes from 2 Peter 3:8, one day with the Lord is as a thousand years, and a thousand years as one day. The years don't necessarily apply as far as creation is concerned. I have often thought myself that probably a lot of creation was done in eternity before there was time. That's just my theory for whatever it's worth. But you start trying to do a little simple math and you say a thousand years is like a day and a day is like a thousand years. You come up with some vastly different figures, can't you? Another testimony, and this is just a personal observation that I've made. Burl and I came home from church one evening several years ago, and if you've been in our house, you know, you look out the back through the sliding glass doors, and there's kind of a nice view there of our large backyard, and then some kind of a little down slope beyond that, and then a small lake out there, and then a hill goes up the other side, and There's a nice house and a detached garage on the other side. A neighbor lives over there. So we came home one night. It was after dark. And for some reason, I looked out that glass door. And it looked like there are two enormous lights shining up out of the lake. Now, can anyone imagine what that was? I couldn't. I was amazed. How could that be? It looked like there might be a submarine or something down there with some big searchlights. I mean, they were huge, huge lights. And I looked at that, and I wondered, and I could not imagine. Finally, I looked up a little bit, and there across the lake by the neighbor's garage, he backed his car up to the garage, and his headlights were shining out over the light. The water. Oh, now I understand. And that taught me something. What does that teach you? Now the source, we know that the source of light is the Lord. It's the light of Christ. And yet, those little lights were small across the lake. The source was small. But, you know, that seems kind of backward, doesn't it? And yet, we know that we are called to reflect and magnify the light of Christ. I think that's been done. That's being done. Matter of fact, I remember talking to Brother Doug the other day here at church, and I said, you know, you folks are fulfilling prophecy. That you're doing things as Christ prophesied would happen when he is talking to his disciples. Said, the things that you see me do, ye shall do. And greater things you will do. Now, I don't know if Doug didn't commit himself. I don't know if he agreed with that or not. But I believe that's true. Just simply because look what happened after Jesus left the earth. Physically, those apostles took off. They did tremendous things. Jesus was one man. They were 12 men. Plus, they were converting others along the way, I'm quite sure. They did a tremendous work. They were baptizing 3,000 people in a day. They're doing what Jesus had done. And even greater things than he had done. And Jesus, as a rule, kind of complied with the rules, the laws of physics that he established. He usually was not in two places at one time. We're told that he didn't travel more than so many miles from his home where he was born. So people today, those who are serving him, are doing a lot more in some respects than he did. Even he, the Christ, was on earth. Simply because there are many more people working. They have modern means of transportation. The Smiths zip back and forth between here and Africa. No big deal. Back then, we know that after his resurrection, he went to different places. We know that. But that was in the spirit world. That was not when he was here on earth physically. So that prophecy has been fulfilled. It's being fulfilled. I have no doubt of it. Jesus didn't say things just for amusement. He meant this when he said that. You will do great the things that you've seen me do, and you will do greater things. He meant that. It was the truth. He prophesied that. And it's being fulfilled at this time. Jesus said this, speaking of these works of the apostles, "These shall he do because I go to my Father." And he sent that comforter. So when he was gone, he was not present anymore. He was not embodying and personifying that comforter, but he was sending this comforter back to replace what had been lost through his death. We live in an amazing time. Prophecies are being fulfilled. And if indeed we have faith, we will see these prophecies being filled more and more all the time. I have no doubt of that. God is, Jesus Christ, is His Son, His only begotten Son. If they say something, you know it's true. There's no disinformation in deity. It's all truth. I'm thankful for the blessings that we have by being a part of the Church of Jesus Christ. I'm thankful for the blessings that we have had even here in this place today. May God bless us as we continue to serve Him.
Thank you, Bob. We will close this hour and we'll close this day, so to speak. We'll stand together and sing hymn number 354, "O Jesus, I Have Promised." And we have all made promises. And then we'll have a benediction by Brother Crowder. 354.
Jesus, I have promised to all. Our kind and gracious and loving Heavenly Father, Lord, we do come before Thee this evening, rejoicing for the many blessings that You've showered upon us this new day and this new week. Truly, Lord, we have looked forward to this day for many years, and to finally see this completion and this dedication. But Lord, this building and this Thy children is our stewardship. And we know that it was not built for us, but for those yet to come. We thank You, Lord, so much for the beauty of this day, the safeties we have traveled, the Spirit that has attended us through our classes and services, our hymns, our prayers, all the dedications that, Lord, truly, You are our Master and our very best friend. We have feasted and we have fellowshipped. And in all this, Lord, we give Thee thanks. We are thankful, Lord, for the encouraging message of this hour from our dear elder brother, to always look to that light and that life of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and to not hide that light under a bushel, but to share it with this dark and dying world. And we know that the laborers are few, and the work yet ahead will be great. But we know that through Thee, Lord, we can do all things. This day, Lord, we have rejoiced with those that rejoice. Let us also mourn and weep with those that weep. We pray for our dear brother Ellis and the entire Shrunk family, that he would have truly that peace that passeth all understanding. Comfort him, Lord, and relieve that pain in what may be his final hours. And especially pray for the Bigler family at this time, that they have lost their wife, their daughter, their mother. And our hearts are broken, Lord. And we lack wisdom. And we would pray for the family that they would not become angry and bitter. We do not know why things happen the way they do, but we certainly know that there is a reason in all things. I pray, Lord, that they would have that peace and comfort as Travis will sleep alone tonight for the first time in many years. I pray for him, Lord, and pray that You would strengthen him as he is disabled and has to care for the daughter alone. I pray for the recovery of President Trump. I pray, Lord, for the spectator that was killed and the grief and inconsolable loss the family must feel at this time. What a tragedy. Lord, as it is written, that we even pray for our enemies, those that despitefully use us and persecute us. I truly lack the words to say, but yet I hold the man who was the shooter up before Thee to leave in Thy hands and Thy will. Lord, all things are present to Thee. You know how it all ends. We are finite, we are mortal. And that natural man comes to the surface many times. We pray for that light and truth and understanding in these last days, these perilous times, that as our sister shared this morning, against discouragement, but that we would, again, as our dear sister Burl, change the hymns of the, or words of the hymn from "Turn your eyes to Jesus," but that we should keep our eyes upon Jesus. Help us, Lord, to truly seek the kingdom first and not to trust our own strength or our own wisdom, but that our trust would ever be in Thee and in Thy Son. Lord, may we not be choked with the cares of this life and the vain things of this world. We know the hour is late. As it's been said, the prophecies are being fulfilled all around us. We know the time is soon is at hand. We pray that when we know that You will soon come, that we will be found watching, waiting, be sober, and that when You call upon us and ask, "Who shall I send?" that without hesitation, like Peter and Paul with their fishing nets, they forsook all, they left all, and followed Thy Son. And not just followed, but became His disciple. And that we too, Lord, would respond with, "Here am I, send me." Lord, strengthen us, carry us, for we are broken this night, and we need Thee every hour. Thank You, Lord, for Your love, Your goodness, Your mercy, and long-suffering. Thank You for this precious gospel. Thank You for these, my brothers and sisters, for this new building to worship in. Lord, all this we give Thee thanks, and praise, the honor, and the glory. Lord, be with us until we meet again. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.